Hello, queers. Welcome to Movies a la Queer. This is Sarita. Happy 2014. I know it's very exciting to finally enter the new year, but just so you guys can ask yourself this, because this actually has been boggling me since it was even December, hasn't this year gone by really fast? I mean, it was just back in February where I posted the first episode of the first podcast of Movies a la Queer, and it was I Can't Think Straight. So just kind of like running all the way forward, it's been a very, very quick year, I believe. It's been a very quick year. But yes, we're going to talk about today on Blue is the Warmest Color, which I have been dying to see this film. I know I've been telling my girlfriend, like, dude, we have to see this film. It's just, I want to see it. It's a long French film about lesbians. Like, come on, I have to see it. And I wasn't disappointed, I have to say. Now, this film was written and directed by Abdelatif Kashish. And again, it's a French film. It was produced in 2013. And it stars Adèle Exarchopoulos and Léa Seydoux. Again, my French accent is terrible. No matter how many years I studied it in college and high school, it's just not up to par, or even Rosetta Stone, I did try. But this film is about a high school student named Adèle, and it kind of follows her life as she is a junior in high school all the way till, you know, post-college and post-teaching when she starts her career. And you can see kind of like her growing up, and she eventually meets Emma, who is this college student and artist. She's this very new age, and you can tell that, you know, she's an experienced lesbian of the lesbian world back in that time. And yeah, they meet, and there's an instant connection, and you do get to see the development of this love story that's not just a love story. I think this is, again, more just a coming-of-age story for Adèle. All right, so I can't really post any of the trailers because all of the trailers are overlaid with music, and if not, they're all in French with English subtitles. So what I will do is I will post a link down below to the trailers, which you guys can take a look at. I recommend the UK trailer because it features a song that is later in the film that holds a lot of significance for me. So instead, let's just get to the review. So how straight to gay was this film for me? Honestly, it kind of defined almost, I would say it goes in two circles. In the first chapter, you do see, you know, Adèle kind of dating this guy that all of her friends are telling her, hey, you know, this guy's cute, like, you should date him. He's totally into you, and you're totally into him because you stare back, and you guys have, like, this cool connection. So she does. She, you know, she goes on a date with this guy. She's completely nice and honest with him. And then, you know, after they, I guess, sleep together, you know, she's unhappy, and you can see, like, just that misery in her face. And what she does right, that I have to say for myself that I didn't do, is she immediately breaks it off with him. Like, she lets him know, like, look, like, it's just not working for me. And even though we don't get to see, like, the actually unfold of that scene when she does break up with him, you do see the scene where she just sits down with him and says, look, it's not really working out. You know, like, you kind of just see, like, the aftermath, and he's just like, okay, so it's done. Like, it's over. And it's very empowering, and I thought that was actually a very good, honest scene that we get to see from them. Now, later in the film, you do see her, you know, in the relationship with Emma, and, you know, living with her and living the life together. And she kind of, again, out of more of like an attention of a loneliness aspect, she does kind of return to a guy. And even prior to that, in this party that they have, I think it's celebrating Emma's work, and, you know, surrounded by friends and colleagues, you see her, like, you know, chatting it up with another guy. It's kind of like her comfort zone. You know, this is what she kind of came from. And it's weird. I mean, for those that have, you know, come from, like, I guess, quote unquote, straight lives and have been with men before being with a woman and before, I guess, living out your lesbian experience or whatever you guys like to call it, I feel like it was very honest to kind of not feel more attracted to guys in a way, but it's like that's almost your comfort zone. Like, that is a part or a place where you can kind of just, like, you can talk to a guy and you can kind of flirt up with the guy and you can make up, you know, a conversation with the guy who's into you because they're so forward, and you can just, like, nod and agree and have, like, an, you know, like, a moment with them. Mind you, that moment at the party, she was jealous because she saw Emma flirting it up with some pregnant woman, who later we find out that's actually the current girlfriend in the future. But it's pretty, I don't know, I felt like that was just very honest, and the film did a great job in just portraying that from someone's point of view, especially at that young age. You know, I feel like that was just a great part. And as straight or gay as the film was, I thought it was, though, very gay, but it had those good straight insertions as a way of saying it. My twingy tension. Oh, I used to love talking about this one. Okay, so as far as the twingy tension, I would have to say not exactly the lovemaking scenes or the sex scenes, which I will talk about that in the real lay versus movie lay, but I have to say just the meetup with when Adele goes into that lesbian bar, because it was definitely a dive bar, and when she goes inside and, you know, and she's looking around and she sees the girl with the blue hair. Oh, let's not forget the scene where she's kind of masturbating or like loving on herself when she is thinking about the girl with the blue hair who they just had like a one encounter with, you know, and it was pretty, I don't know, it did definitely twinge my attention, or gave tense to my twinge. How was that phrase? It definitely tensed my twinge. Lauren, I hate you. But yeah, I definitely thought that the bar scene was very, very interesting, especially when she's sitting there and then when Emma comes and sits next to her and starts referring her as her cousin, I guess, to kind of help her out and to her not to get caught for being underage in a bar. I can only imagine if she was a junior, she probably just turned, what, like 17 and she was in a bar and she did not get caught, Avi. But everyone is just there, you know, like people are attracted to Adele. She's like the fresh meat in the bar. So when Emma comes down, it's almost like, yeah, she's my cousin. Like, leave her alone. Like, don't talk to her. Like, you know, she's new. She doesn't know what she's doing here. I thought it was very, very attractive. And you can kind of see Adele's face when Emma comes, you know, by. It's like, oh shit, that's that girl that I've been masturbating over. Oh shit, that's the girl that's so fucking hot that, you know, I don't know what to do next. Now, as far as if it's a real lay versus a movie lay. Now, for those who don't remember, this is the part where I like to basically almost dissect the sex scenes. Now, what this film is kind of known for, and that is not sadly enough, because it does kind of add a perspective to the film, and it raises a question, which I'll ask you guys in a bit. This film, for those who have seen it, for those who haven't seen it, it's pretty freaking explicit. Now, you have, like, the sex scenes are very real in a way, and they're very show and tell. Now, on the production notes of this film, it was said that they used fake genitalia, so you can imagine that they actually, like, I mean, they would put, like, I guess, a fake rubber vagina or fake rubber, you know, in the back, in the ass. I don't know, like, you have to kind of imagine it. They said it was fake genitalia, so I'm thinking of what actually was fake. But it was pretty real to feel that, to feel those sex scenes and to feel like the act. Now, as far as it was real or fake, I mean, it definitely wasn't a movie lay. I mean, there was no, like, fake moans and there was no, like, unnecessary, you know? It was actually pretty out of breath, and I could say that it was definitely more real than a movie lay. I guess the only reason I would say it had somewhat of a movie lay was because they zoomed in on, like, the breast. They zoomed in on the ass. Like, it kind of almost seemed like a porn. When I was watching it with Danielle, my girlfriend, she was mentioning, like, oh, like, there's just, you know, it's like a porn, you know, they have a plot and then they just have, like, a 30-minute long sex scene. And that's one thing. The lovemaking scenes are very long. And I mean, I can't say that I hated that about it, but it could have been shorter. I mean, it could have focused on what they were doing in some aspects, but I felt like it was just a little too long. I felt like you were kind of sitting there and there would be points and you were like, you know, look at your watch and see how long this stuff has been happening. And it's not because it was a bad sex scene. I get, you know, just to be honest with you, when I'm watching a sex scene, I can't help but, like, feel first, like, ooh, that's happening, and then, oh, like, I'm uncomfortable because I'm in a movie theater, or I'm with, you know, my mother, or I'm, like, sitting down watching it with a friend, or even my girlfriend. Like, I'll sit down, and I'm like, this is kind of getting me hot. I don't know what to do, you know? And I guess it's just the awkwardness of sex scenes in films. And definitely with Blue is the Warmest Color, the sex scenes were great. And the way that they were doing it was very realistic for me. I mean, me speaking as a lesbian, I thought that even the positions were pretty realistic. And definitely what I would say people could do. But I I kind of, the only thing I didn't like about it was just that it was very long, and I think it was very long to add a certain point. And the question that I had wanted to ask was, when I was watching the sex scenes, it didn't feel like there was a lot of, there was emotion behind it, and it was like a comfort behind it, but I didn't feel like there was a lot of love. Like, I felt like it was more sex than lovemaking from Adele's point of view than from Emma's. And I guess that raises the question if that becomes like a point later. Now, when I think about the crock pots, and that's our part where we talk about like what we found cheesy or just unnecessary in the film, I would say that a lot of times I found that, like, the scenes where she's eating and where, like, okay, I understood why it was put in the film. I understood why the director, why Kashish wanted to put all these scenes where Adele is eating or sleeping when she's younger to kind of give her, like, a young, innocent, unexperienced or inexperienced look about life. How she is a young teenager, coming-of-age story. And, you know, she has, like, those, like, that coming of age lifestyle, and I understand it. I understand why it was put in the film, but I found like it was kind of excessive. I mean, you see her eating so much during the film. You see her with her mouth open so much during the film. And I kind of find it not like unappetizing, but it was kind of like, okay, like, didn't we just see her eating like a hero? Like, why is she now like stuffing her face, doing something else, or like eating something else? Not that it was disgusting. It was just a little weird. And I thought it was a little cheesy to kind of always show her like this innocent side to her. Again, I understood why he did it, but as just a spectator, I didn't think that it was that necessary to kind of give her this, like, yeah, she eats this kind of way, you know, like this, she's young, so let her look this certain way, and to kind of show the audiences and those that are watching this film at home that she is a young girl and that she is a teenager and that she is an adolescent. And I don't know, I just thought it wasn't necessary. Another part, I guess, speaking from a lesbian's point of view and completely just a biased lesbian, obviously, I found that the guys that she would talk to a little bit annoying, even though they're very realistic. I mean, you have the actor from the party, this who comes in and says, yeah, like, I'm an actor, yeah, I went to LA and I was acting in this like terrorist film because, you know, the Americans love that I speak Arabic. And even though that could be 100% true, because, you know, it in American cinema, they need as many, you know, Arabic speakers as they can get, since most won't do it, but I found just like his presence so annoying. I found that guy's presence, for example, to be annoying. And he does show up later in the film to kind of like get her again. And the questions he asks, like, oh, so how is it different from guys? Like, mind you, like, why would you ask that in the party of what is your friend's, who is a lesbian's, like, art exhibition almost in a way, and you're asking the girlfriend, Adele, oh, so you've been with guys? Who do you prefer? Is it different? Like, it's kind of a skeevy guy, like, ugh, like, go away. I don't know, I just found him to be very, very annoying, and definitely a crockpot of queso for this film. Now, like many people, I would have to say that the film definitely hit home for me at the end. And just because it's a heartbreak, you know, it's a heartbreak when you see someone that you can think that you're madly in love with and you are in love with, and you lost them over, you know, a mistake, over a spiteful mistake. And years have gone by and you don't have that person anymore with you. You don't have the attention of that person anymore with you. And you see them just kind of like go through life with this success, and you see them have like a new way of living, and you kind of try to, you wanting them to come back to you. Like the scene where she's in the dinner table with Emma, Adele and Emma are sitting down, I guess like a reunion after like two years, because, you know, and they're sitting down and they're talking about just where their lives are and what they're doing and how they've been and whatnot. And then you can see how Adele is just craving for Emma's attention and craving for Emma's touch, and like missing that, missing, I guess, if you go back to the sex scenes, missing that passion and that tension that was definitely in those scenes. She misses it. And instead of her saying, like, you know, like, I love you, like, I want to be with you, like, you know, take me back, it's very physical. Like, it's almost like a physical, you know, I miss your touch, I miss you touching me, I miss touching you, I miss this, and like grabbing her hand and like putting it in her crotch, you know. It was very a passionate moment that it didn't really show a lot of love. And I think that you can see that from Emma's, you know, Emma missed a craving because she, you know, she was kissing her back and it was a very like passionate kiss, but it wasn't very romantic. It wasn't very Like, it had a lot of intimacy, but it wasn't intimate in the definition of, like, a romantic gentle. It was very rough. And when Adele asks her, like, you know, do you not miss me, or you know, have you not forgiven me? And then Emma's like, I have forgiven you. And then she asks, well, did you stop loving me? And, you know, Emma says, yeah, I don't, she agrees, like, no, I don't love you anymore. Like, that is a moment that's, like, very honest, because as time passes, you know, the feelings eventually do go away and you do lead a new life and you do move on. And to see that, you know, like, you don't have that same person there anymore for whatever the circumstances were. And you kind of look at your life and say, you know what? It's time for me to move on. It's time for me to do something else. And I think that was what it was for Emma. And now that Adele is kind of like wanted her back, and what does she expect? For Emma to just drop her whole life and kind of just run to her arms? But I think that Emma knew better. Emma, you know, again, she was always older than Adele. So now you can tell, you know, she had a family, or she has a daughter with the lady that she's with. With the current girlfriend, with the current partner. And it's kind of like, you know, I can't drop my family for these, you know, sexual escapades again with you, to play house with you again. For what? For her to feel unsettled again and to kind of go back to how it was. It was pretty interesting. Another part was just how you saw throughout the film that Adele, not that she was very unhappy, but she was very unfulfilled. And Emma brings that to her attention one night when they're in bed. Emma says, like, I just want to see you happy, because she doesn't, you know, she sees her very miserable. And we see her as the audience member pretty miserable when she's sitting there watching people just talk and converse and feeling always left out, like feeling like she doesn't belong in it. And I feel like that's something that Emma also saw. And Emma, I'm sorry, but Emma, I'm pretty sure, did not want to be a part of someone's life who was just so miserable. And even she tried to help by saying, you know, maybe you should write, maybe you should do something that makes you feel better. And Adele is like, yeah, no, I'm happy with you. I'm happy like this. I'm happy in bed naked with you. I want you, like, kiss me. And you can see that Emma's like, no, like, this is not a serious conversation. I think that was something that they lacked in the relationship, which also could have added to, not the destruction, but it added to, like, their end. Honestly, I loved this film. I thought it was actually pretty, very, very honest. And although there were, again, those parts of the film, like the sex scenes are very long. I feel like the movie 3 hours long, even though it was in chapters, I felt like it could definitely have been shortened. I feel like this movie could have cut at least 30 minutes of, like, those extra footage of Adele eating and Adele sleeping, or at least Adele going in the beach and just floating in the water. I feel like that all that stuff could have been cut down at least a couple minutes. I mean, I enjoy long scenes like no one else, but I feel like it was just a little bit too long. I did enjoy this film, but based on how I look at queer culture and how, mind you, there's pride in here, there's a gay club in here, there's a lesbian bar in here. I feel like it definitely related to a lot of what, you know, when you do come of age, when you do become more comfortable in the gay community and you kind of go out to these public ventures and you see how people are just so open and so free about it and you feel, you know, somewhat left out in the beginning. I feel like that was also very honest. So out of my regular 1 to 5 scale, I would rate this film a 4.5. I felt like it was very good in that it was very honest, and I've missed a I really wanted to finally find a film, a queer film. I call it a queer film, but this is more of a coming of age film. But I wanted to find a film that just had a very honest story and a very honest relationship that doesn't always have to end in happiness, or doesn't always have to end in an amazingly sadness. And I guess if you guys haven't seen this movie yet, or for those that have seen it, the ending was very honest and very true, and I felt I was very fulfilled with the ending, because that's something that would happen, you know. It's, you know, life goes on. So I would love to see a chapter 3 and 4, but I doubt that'll ever happen because the actresses have refused to work with the same director again. But I recommend you guys to see this film. I know that in some places it's still in out, but this film will be released on DVD on February, so it's, you know, you have another month. Again, I recommend you to see this film. I wouldn't recommend to see it with a family member just because, again, those sex scenes were a little long or whatever. But I do recommend you to see it either by yourself or with a friend or a significant other just so you guys can look at a romantic film from a different person's point of view. And what's funny, I think that this film is coming out around Valentine's Day, which I don't know if I would take this film to a significant date to go see unless you're already together, but it is definitely a good film. So again, 4.5 out of 5. I loved it. Watch Blue is the Warmest Color, as well as the any other films that I have listed in my directory. I will be posting the breakup films part 2 that I have Danielle alongside me with very soon, just because it's a long podcast and a lot of music to post in. And yeah, thank you for listening. This is Sarita from Movies a la Queer. We'll see you or hear you or speak to you next time. Just reach us out at Twitter on at Movies a la Queer, or you can go to Facebook and search Movies ALQ. That is facebook.com/moviesALQ. Thank you very much and sign out. Bye.